Chapter 25. Hygienic Restaurants. When the state fair was held in Battle Creek, our people took with them onto the grounds 3 or 4 cooking stoves and demonstrated how good meals might be prepared without the use of flesh meat. We were told that we set the best table on the ground. Whenever large gatherings are held, it is your privilege to devise plans whereby you can provide those who attend with wholesome food, and you are to make your efforts educational. The Lord gave us favor with the people, and we had many wonderful opportunities to demonstrate what could be done through the principles of health reform to restore to health those whose cases had been pronounced hopeless. Light was also given that in the cities there would be opportunity to do a work similar to that which we did on the Battle Creek Fairgrounds. In harmony with this light, hygienic restaurants have been established. But there is grave danger that our restaurant workers will become so imbued with the spirit of commercialism that they will fail to impart the light which the people need. Our restaurants bring us in contact with many people, but if we allow our minds to be engrossed with the thought of financial profit, we shall fail to fulfill the purpose of God. He would have us take advantage of every opportunity to present the truth that is to save men and women from eternal death. I have tried to ascertain how many souls have been converted to the truth as a result of the restaurant work here in blank. Some may have been saved, but many more might be converted to God if every effort were made to conduct the work in God's order and to let light shine into the pathway of others. I would say to the workers connected with the restaurant, do not continue to work as you have been working. Seek to make the restaurant a means of communicating to others the light of present truth. For this purpose only have our restaurants been established. The workers in the blank restaurant and the members of the blank church need to be thoroughly converted. To every one has been given the talent of intellect. Have you received power to prevail with God? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You prepare food for those who come to the restaurant for meals, but what efforts are you putting forth to teach them the commandments of God and point them to the path of life? The restaurant should be a place where a holy influence is exerted. Do not give your patrons merely the newspapers to read. Let them have the publications that are filled with truth. Endeavor to become acquainted with those with whom you are brought in contact. Lead them on to inquire in regard to the truth, and then have ready some tract or book that will answer their question. In this way, seeds of truth may be sown, and the time will come when some of it will spring up unto life eternal. Heavenly angels are waiting to cooperate with those who work on the side of truth and righteousness. The food work must not be so enlarged that it will call for the talent that should be put to use in the ministry or in other lines of evangelistic work. There is danger that the restaurant work will employ those who are needed to take an active part in house-to-house labor and in various lines of missionary work. In our cities, interested workers will take hold of various lines of missionary effort. Hygienic restaurants will be established, but with what carefulness should this work be done? Those working in these restaurants should be constantly experimenting that they may learn how to prepare palatable, healthful foods. Every hygienic restaurant should be a school for the workers connected with it. In the cities, this line of work may be done on a much larger scale than in smaller places. But in every place where there is a church and a church school, instruction should be given in regard to the preparation of simple health foods for the use of those who wish to live in accordance with the principles of health reform. And in all our missionary fields, a similar work can be done. God has declared that sanitariums and hygienic restaurants should be established for the purpose of making known to the world His law. The closing of our restaurants on the Sabbath is to be a witness that there is a people who will not, for worldly gain, or to please people, disregard God's holy rest day. These restaurants are to be established in our cities to bring the truth before many who are engrossed in the business and pleasure of this world. Many of these are professed Christians, but are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. These are to know that God has a people who fear Him and keep His commandments. They are to be taught how to choose and prepare the simple food that is best suited to nourish the body and preserve the health.
Our restaurants will have to be in the cities. In regard to these restaurants, I am instructed to say that too much of an effort is being made to have one large restaurant in a city. It would be more in the order of the Lord to have several smaller ones. He desires a work done for those who are served, the sowing of the seeds of truth, not the obtaining of a large number of patrons, is to be the first consideration. Numbers is no true evidence of success. The words were spoken, "Do not flatter yourselves that because a large number come each day to the restaurant, you are making great advancement in the work." What are you doing to save souls? You gather in a large company and then feed them at too low a price. You employ your helpers at too low a price. What encouragement have they that they are doing God's service? What of your helpers? Are they becoming indifferent in regard to the truth? If they are, and if no effort is being made to give spiritual help to them and to those who come each day for meals, the business might better be carried on by unbelievers, for this would not exert so strong an influence against the truth. My brethren, carry on your work in such a way that will fortify souls against temptation, rather than leading them into temptation. When conducted in such a manner that the gospel of Christ is brought to the attention of the people, the health food work can be profitably engaged in. But I lift my voice in warning against efforts that accomplish nothing more than the production of foods to supply the physical needs. It is a serious mistake to employ so much time and so much of the talents of men and women in manufacturing foods, while no special effort is made at the same time to supply the multitudes with the bread of life. Great dangers attend a work that has not for its object the revelation of the way of eternal life. The heavenly intelligences have been watching our restaurants to see what they are accomplishing in the dissemination of the truth of heavenly origin. The words of Christ are spirit and life. Eternal life is promised to all who will repent and be converted. Let the workers in our restaurants secure tracts and papers filled with the precious messages of warning and pure spiritual food. Place these in the hands of those who come to eat at the tables. It is your duty to keep before the people with whom you are brought in contact the fact that God rules and reigns, and that the study of His words is important. Every action is passing in review before God. When the importance of the restaurant work has been presented to me, it has not been outlined that hygienic restaurants would be the means of making large sums of money. They are to be places where the truth will be presented by word of mouth and by the distribution of literature treating upon the coming of Christ and of the message for this time. The restaurant work should be a means in the purpose of God to prepare a people to stand in the day of judgment. The work of satisfying the hunger of the body is to be made only a means to this end. Evangelistic work is to be done, and literature should be sold and given away. Let the subject of temperance be made prominent. The patrons of our restaurants should be warned that the great day of God's wrath is near, that it hasteth greatly. As the judgments of God fall upon the cities, let this be sounded as a note of warning. At our camp meetings, arrangements should be made so that the poor can obtain wholesome, well-prepared food as cheaply as possible. There should also be a restaurant in which healthful dishes are prepared and served in an inviting manner. This will prove an education to many not of our faith. Let not this line of work be looked upon as separate from other lines of camp meeting work. Each line of God's work is closely united with every other line, and our are to advance in perfect harmony. It was presented to me that we should not rest satisfied because we have a vegetarian restaurant in Brooklyn, but that others should be established in other sections of the city. The people living in one part of Greater New York do not know what is going on in other parts of that great city. Men and women who eat at the restaurants established in different places will become conscious of an improvement in health. Their confidence, once gained, they will be more ready to accept God's special message of truth. Wherever medical missionary work is carried on in our large cities, cooking schools should be held, and wherever a strong educational missionary work is in progress, a hygienic restaurant of some sort should be established, which shall give a practical illustration of the proper selection and the healthful preparation of foods.
When in Los Angeles, I was instructed that not only in various sections of that city, but in San Diego and in other tourist resorts of Southern California, health restaurants and treatment rooms should be established. Our efforts in these lines should include the great seaside resorts. As the voice of John the Baptist was heard in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," so must the voice of the Lord's messengers be heard in the great tourist and seaside resorts. Let schools and sanitariums now be established in many places in the southern states. Let centers of influence be made in many of the southern cities by the opening of food stores and vegetarian restaurants. Let there also be facilities for the manufacture of simple, inexpensive health foods. But let not selfish, worldly policy be brought into the work, for God forbids this. Let unselfish men take hold of this work in the fear of God and with love for their fellow men. I have been given light that in many cities it is advisable for a restaurant to be connected with treatment rooms. The two can cooperate in upholding right principles. In connection with these, it is sometimes advisable to have rooms that will serve as lodgings for the sick. In San Francisco, a hygienic restaurant has been opened, also a food store and treatment rooms. These are doing a good work, but their influence should be greatly extended. Other restaurants, similar to the one on Market Street, should be opened in San Francisco and in Oakland. Concerning the effort that is now being made in these lines, we can say, Amen and Amen. And soon, other lines of work that will be a blessing to the people will be established. Medical missionary evangelistic work should be carried forward in a most prudent and thorough manner. The solemn, sacred work of saving souls is to advance in a way that is modest and yet ever elevated. Every hygienic restaurant should be a school. The workers connected with it should be constantly studying and experimenting that they may make improvement in the preparation of healthful foods. In the cities, this work of instruction may be carried forward on a much larger scale than in smaller places. But in every place where there is a church, instruction should be given in regard to the preparation of simple, healthful foods for the use of those who wish to live in accordance with the principles of health reform. And the church members should impart to the people of their neighborhood the light they receive on this subject. The Lord has a message for our cities, and this message we are to proclaim in our camp meetings and by other public efforts, and also through our publications. In addition to this, hygienic restaurants are to be established in the cities, and by them, the message of temperance is to be proclaimed. Arrangements should be made to hold meetings in connection with our restaurants. Whenever possible, let a room be provided where the patrons can be invited to lectures on the science of health and Christian temperance, where they can receive instruction on the preparation of wholesome food and on other important subjects. In these meetings, there should be prayer and singing and talks, not only on health and temperance topics, but also on other appropriate Bible subjects. As the people are taught how to preserve physical health, many opportunities will be found to sow the seeds of the gospel of the kingdom. The subjects should be presented in such a way as to impress the people favorably. There should be, in meetings, nothing of a theatrical nature. The singing should not be done by a few only. All present should be encouraged to join in the song service. There are those who have a special gift of song, and there are times when a special message is borne by one singing alone or by several uniting in song. But the singing is seldom to be done by a few. The ability to sing is a talent of influence which God desires all to cultivate and use to His name's glory. Those who come to our restaurants should be supplied with reading matter. Their attention should be called to our literature on temperance and dietetic reform, and leaflets treating on the lessons of Christ should also be given them. The burden of supplying this reading matter should be shared by all our people. All who come should be given something to read. It may be that many will leave the tract unread, but some among those in whose hand you place it may be searching for light. They will read and study what you give them, and then pass it on to others. The workers in our restaurants should live in such close connection with God that they will recognize the promptings of His Spirit to talk personally about spiritual things to such and such a one who comes to the restaurant. When self is crucified and Christ is formed within, the hope of glory, we shall reveal in thought, word, and deed the reality of our belief in the truth. The Lord will be with us, and through us the Holy Spirit will work to reach those who are out of Christ. The Lord has instructed me that this is the work to be done by those conducting our restaurants. The pressure and rush of business must not lead to a neglect of the work of soul saving. It is well to minister to the physical wants of our fellow men, but if ways are not found to let the light of the gospel shine forth to those who come day by day for their meals, how is God glorified by our work? When the restaurant work was started, it was expected that it would be the means of reaching many with the message of present truth. Has it done this? To the workers in our restaurants, the question was asked by one in authority. To how many have you spoken regarding their salvation? How many have heard from your lips earnest appeals to accept Christ as a personal Savior? How many have been led by your words to turn from sin to the service of the living God? As in our restaurants, people are supplied with temporal food, let not the workers forget that they themselves and those whom they serve need to be constantly supplied with the bread of heaven. Let them watch constantly for opportunities to speak of the truth to those who know it not. Care of the helpers. The managers of our restaurants are to work for the salvation of the employees. They must not overwork, because by so doing, they will place themselves where they have neither strength nor inclination to help the workers spiritually. They are to devote their best powers to instructing their employees in spiritual lines, explaining the scriptures to them, and praying with them and for them. They are to guard the religious interests of the helpers as carefully as parents are to guard the religious interests of their children. Patiently and tenderly, they are to watch over them, doing all in their power to help them in the perfection of Christian characters. Their words are to be like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Their actions are to be free from every trace of selfishness and harshness. They are to stand as minutemen
watching for souls as they that must give an account. They are to strive to keep their helpers standing on vantage ground, where their courage will constantly grow stronger and their faith in God constantly increase. Unless our restaurants are conducted in this way, it will be necessary to warn our people against sending their children to them as workers. Many of those who patronize our restaurants do not bring with them the angels of God. They do not desire the companionship of these holy beings. They bring with them a worldly influence, and to withstand this influence, the workers need to be closely connected with God. The managers of our restaurants must do more to save the younger people in their employ. They must put forth greater efforts to keep them alive spiritually so that their young minds will not be swayed by the worldly spirit with which they are constantly brought in contact. The girls and the young women in our restaurants need a shepherd. Every one of them needs to be sheltered by home influences. There is danger that the youth, entering our institutions as believers and desiring to help in the cause of God, will become weary and disheartened, losing their zeal and courage, and growing cold and indifferent. We cannot crowd these youth into small, dark rooms and deprive them of the privileges of home life, and then expect them to have a wholesome religious experience. It is important that wise plans be laid for the care of the helpers in all our institutions, and especially for those employed in our restaurants. Good helpers should be secured, and every advantage should be provided that will aid them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. They are not to be left to the mercy of haphazard circumstances, with no regular time for prayer and no time at all for Bible study. When left thus, they become heedless and careless, indifferent to eternal realities. With every restaurant, there should be connected a man and his wife who can act as guardians of the helpers, a man and woman who love the Savior and the souls for whom he died, and who keep the way of the Lord. The young women should be under the care of a wise, judicious matron, a woman who is thoroughly converted, who will carefully guard the workers, especially the younger ones. The workers are to feel that they have a home. They are God's helping hand, and they are to be treated as carefully and tenderly as Christ declared that the little child whom he set in the midst of his disciples was to be treated. "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me," he said, "it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 18, verse 6, 10. The care that should be given to these employees is one of the reasons in favor of having in a large city several small restaurants instead of one large one. But this is not the only reason why it will be best to establish several small restaurants in different parts of our large cities. The smaller restaurants will recommend the principles of health reform just as well as the larger establishment, and will be much more easily managed. We are not commissioned to feed the world, but we are instructed to educate the people. In the smaller restaurants, there will not be so much work to do, and the helpers will have more time to devote to the study of the Word, more time to learn how to do their work well, and more time to answer the inquiries of the patrons who are desirous of learning about the principles of health reform. If we fulfill the purpose of God in this work, the righteousness of Christ will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be our reward. But if there is no ingathering of souls, if the helpers themselves are not spiritually benefited, if they are not glorifying God in word and deed, why should we open and maintain such establishments? If we cannot conduct our restaurants to God's glory, if we cannot exert through them a strong religious influence, it would be better for us to close them up and use the talents of our youth in other lines of work.
But our restaurants can be so conducted that they will be the means of saving souls. Let us seek the Lord earnestly for humility of heart, that he may teach us how to walk in the light of his counsel, how to understand his word, how to accept it, and how to put it into practice. There is danger that our restaurants will be conducted in such a way that our helpers will work very hard day after day and week after week, and yet not be able to point to any good accomplished. This matter needs careful consideration. We have no right to bind our young people up in a work that yields no fruit to the glory of God. There is danger that the restaurant work, though regarded as a wonderfully successful way of doing good, will be so conducted that it will promote merely the physical well-being of those whom it serves. A work may apparently bear the features of supreme excellence, but it is not good in God's sight unless it is performed with an earnest desire to do his will and fulfill his purpose. If God is not recognized as the author and end of our actions, they are weighed in the balances of the sanctuary and found wanting. Closing our restaurants on the Sabbath. The question has been asked, should our restaurants be opened on the Sabbath? My answer is, no, no. The observance of the Sabbath is our witness to God, the mark or sign between him and us that we are his people. Never is this mark to be obliterated. Were the workers in our restaurants to provide meals on the Sabbath the same as they do through the week for the mass of people who would come, where would be their day of rest? What opportunity would they have to recruit their physical and spiritual strength? Not long since, special light was given me on this subject. I was shown that efforts would be made to break down our standard of Sabbath observance, that men would plead for the opening of our restaurants on the Sabbath, but that this must never be done.
A scene passed before me. I was in our restaurant in San Francisco. It was Friday. Several of the workers were busily engaged in putting up packages of such foods as could be easily carried by the people to their homes, and a number were waiting to receive these packages. I asked the meaning of this, and the workers told me that some among their patrons were troubled because, on account of the closing of the restaurant, they could not on the Sabbath obtain food of the same kind as that which they used during the week. Realizing the value of the wholesome foods obtained at the restaurant, they protested against being denied them on the seventh day, and pleaded with those in charge of the restaurant to keep it open every day in the week, pointing out what they would suffer if this were not done. "What you see today," said the workers, "is our answer to this demand for the health foods upon the Sabbath. These people take on Friday food that lasts over the Sabbath, and in this way we avoid condemnation for refusing to open the restaurant on the Sabbath. The line of demarcation between our people and the world must ever be kept unmistakably plain. Our platform is the law of God, in which we are enjoined to observe the Sabbath day. For, as is distinctly stated in the 31st chapter of Exodus, the observance of the Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, he declares, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. We are to heed a thus saith the Lord, even though by our obedience we cause great inconvenience to those who have no respect for the Sabbath. On one hand, we have man's supposed necessities. On the other, God's commands. Which have the greatest weight with us? In our sanitariums, the family of patients, with the physicians, nurses, and helpers, must be fed upon the Sabbath, as any other family, with as little labor as possible. But our restaurants should not be opened on the Sabbath. Let the workers be assured that they will have this day for the worship of God.
The closed doors on the Sabbath stamp the restaurant as a memorial for God, a memorial which declares that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and that on it, no unnecessary work is to be done. I have been instructed that one of the principal reasons why hygienic restaurants and treatment rooms should be established in the centers of large cities is that by this means the attention of leading men will be called to the third angel's message. Noticing that these restaurants are conducted in a way altogether different from the way in which ordinary restaurants are conducted, men of intelligence will begin to inquire into the reasons for the difference in business methods, and will investigate the principles that lead us to serve superior food. Thus, they will be led to a knowledge of the message for this time. When thinking men find that our restaurants are closed on the Sabbath, they will make inquiries in regard to the principles that lead us to close our doors on Saturday. In answering their questions, we shall have opportunity to acquaint them with the reasons for our faith. We can give them copies of our periodicals and tracts so that they may be able to understand the difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Not all our people are as particular as they should be in regard to Sabbath observance. May God help them to reform. It becomes the head of every family to plant his feet firmly on the platform of obedience.